Welcome to Meet the Candidates, a public service of WTZQ Radio and Timeless Media Incorporated. This is a platform to hear from candidates who have filed for the Henderson County municipal elections to be held on November the 5th. Now, here is your Meet the Candidates host, former publisher of the Hendersonville Times News and director of Vision Henderson County, Ruth Burge.
Welcome to Meet the Candidates. I'm your host, Ruth Burge. In the WTZQ studio today, we have Tom Carpenter, who is running for Flat Rock Village Council, District 1. Welcome.
Thank you, Ruth. Thank you for asking me.
Well, tell me a little bit about Tom. How did you get here, and what's with Tom?
Well, my ancestry on my grandfather's side is actually from the South, from Tidewater, Virginia. And my grandfather in 1918 worked for the shipyard in Newport News, Virginia. And after World War I shut down, he found himself in want of a job, migrated to Philadelphia, where he met my grandmother and had my father and five other siblings. And I had the occurrence of being born in Philadelphia. And fortunately, I escaped before I got the Philadelphia twang. They dragged me to southern New Jersey, where I spent most of my growing years, but always wanted to get back to our heritage in the South. 1987, my wife and I took a trip down the Skyline Drive and the Blue Ridge Parkway, spent a week in Gatlinburg, and then all the way back up the Parkway and Skyline Drive. And we said, this is the place that we wanted to live. And I looked all over the U.S. for 27 years when I traveled for business, and if we found a place that we liked, we'd go for a week vacation, and nothing compares to Western North Carolina. So in 2013, we brought our home in Kenmuir and moved down full-time in 2015, and it's one of the greatest things I've ever done in my life. So my wife said, well, how will we fit in there because we're Yankees? And I said, well, you're the Yankee. My heritage is in the South. And my great-great-great-grandfather and his brother Henry fought under Robert E. Lee in the Army of Northern Virginia. So we have an inn.
I think that's wonderful. We all want to be here. That's for sure. Absolutely. What made you decide to run for the Flat Rock Village Council?
Well, this was the last thing on earth I actually thought I'd ever be doing, running for public office. It's not in my nature at all. I got involved with the Flat Rock Village Council when the North Highland Lake Road project came to light in September of 2017. I am the clerk of session for Pinecrest Presbyterian Church on the corner of North Highland Lake Road and Greenville Highway. So I am the primary liaison between our congregation and the Village Council and other public entities. So I started going to the planning meetings with NCDOT, to the Village Council meetings, the agenda meetings, numerous other meetings at our church with the council members and NCDOT, and outside meetings with the same group. So I've been to over 70 meetings in the last 2 years concerning the North Highland Lake Road project. I saw some things being pushed through that a majority of residents seemed to object to. And council was unable to find a way to move to stop this project or to greatly modify it so it wouldn't be so harmful against the will of what I saw was the majority of the residents of Flat Rock. And I thought that perhaps we needed a change. And multiple people from all different areas of my life prevailed upon me to run for office. So against my better inclinations, I accepted and signed up.
Okay. All right. While we're on the North Highland Lake Road project, which obviously brought you in here, what are your thoughts about what's going to happen there as far as the walking trails, the biking trails, the greenways? And
well, the North Highland Lake Road project was ill-conceived from the beginning. One of the primary motivators of this project is not to straighten the road. It's actually to put in that multi-use path from the park to Greenville Highway with an ultimate plan of taking that pathway all the way to Carl Sandburg. In and of itself, that's not such a bad idea, but the practicalities of it were never investigated. It may be impossible to do that because the historic district and the landowners that would have to buy into this project. Full study was never done before this road project was proposed. It was proposed because the NCDOT a couple of years ago came up with what they call their Smart Streets Project, which include any work done on a street, a new one or existing one, would include curbs and gutters, and a multi-use path. That's their version of smart streets. So the council approved this project for the smart streets program, primarily, in my opinion, to get this multi-use path. Unfortunately, what it does is it takes people's land by eminent domain. The village says, we don't use eminent domain. No, but by approving this project, NCDOT does. NCDOT has a rating system of 0 to 5 for roads. 0 meaning no work is needed, 5 meaning critical. DOT has told us in at least 6 different meetings that this road is rated 0 for road safety. They said this is a safe road, in our opinion. It is rated 0 for congestion. At peak traveling hours, we are at 30% of capacity, and they estimate on their 20-year basis that in 20 years we may be up to 60% capacity, so capacity is not an issue. And road condition is also rated 0. This is being pushed because of that multi-use path. So they are taking massive amounts of people's private property by eminent domain to build this path. Pinecrest Church, for example, would lose all their pine trees for which the church is named and that were planted by the original members for over 40 years ago along North Highland Lake Road. And the park will also lose all the trees closest to Highland Lake Road. The entrance to the park, we were told, would remain intact, the stone monument and the two huge oak trees. The last meeting I had with NCDOT on July 29th said that stone monument would have to go, and the right-hand tall oak tree would also have to go. And I have a degree in wildlife biology, and I know if you disturb the land that much around a large oak tree, that left-hand oak tree, if it remains, will probably die also. Dale's Automotive would probably lose most of his parking along North Highland Lake Road in back of his chain link fence. And if you've been there, you know that he doesn't have much parking space to begin with. 3 people outside of the Flat Rock border will lose large parts of their front yards, all because of a project that DOT says does not have to be done. Now, one of the controversies is that council says, well, this project is locked in. It cannot be stopped. I have been at least 12 meetings with NCDOT, most of them with council members present, where NCDOT said all the Flat Rock Village Council has to do is vote no on this project up until the time the shovels hit the ground, which is projected to be December 2020. And they can cancel this project, no cost to Flat Rock. They say we do this all the time because towns or communities want to stop a project. We just take our money and our shovels. We go somewhere else. There's no animosity towards Flat Rock. There's no hard feelings. NCDOT is not harmed. We just move on.
Okay, let's change subjects for a second. What are your thoughts about transparency and making the village council more accessible to residents?
One of the things that came out during this North Highland Lake Road project was that people were blindsided. Pinecrest Church, for example, and also the veterinary hospital, we found out when we went to a meeting in Hendersonville, NCDOT, that the project was taking place and how much land we would lose. We were never informed before by the council that this would take place. So our thoughts on transparency are right now all of the council meetings, they're held during the day, second Thursday of the month, 9:30 a.m. to 11 p.m. Once a quarter, at least, we should have an evening council meeting, say from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m., so that people that work or are otherwise occupied during the day can attend the meetings. We should also have at least twice a year a town hall meeting where we rent a large venue, perhaps St. John's Church or a Pinecrest Church that could seat several hundred people, where the council would be present, give an overview of what they are planning, what they are doing, what their decisions have been, and open up the floor to comments from our residents, because they're the ones that elect us, to see what concerns, questions, et cetera, they have, any suggestions they might be able to make. And also, I believe that every week on a rotating basis, there are 7 council members, counting the mayor, that one person should be assigned each week to spend at least 4 to 5 hours in the office at the Village Hall, 2 hours, 3 hours during one day, and then 2 hours one evening, so that residents can either come in and see them in person or call them on the phone and talk to them live about what's going on. So every 7th week, each council member would serve a few hours in the office.
Interesting. You've got some interesting propositions there with evening meetings and spending some time in the office. What about the recent tax increase, on property taxes?
Well, at the July 2019 meeting, they voted to increase our Flat Rock property taxes by 18.2%. Nick Weidman argued against that, saying we don't need an increase that big. Some increase was needed because all three of the fire departments that service Flat Rock had increased their budgets significantly, and we have no input into that, so we did need a small increase for that. But we also had the reassessment of our properties this year, and combined with the 18.2% interest or increase in Flat Rock taxes, people that I have talked to are seeing tax increases overall from 30% to 60%. And Nick Weidman has said that there is a formula where when assessments are done, cities, municipalities, villages can adjust their tax rates so that there is no net gain or loss in tax revenue, so that the people would pay pretty close to what they paid the previous year. Now, I don't know how that works. Nick Weidman would have to explain that. I wasn't involved in that. But an 18.2% increase in a year when the federal government cannot even get our inflation rate much above 1.6% is huge. One of the things that David Deathrow and Ann Coletta and myself will do if all three of us are elected in May of next year, when budget time comes around, we will cut that increase in half. We will decrease Flat Rock property taxes by at least 9.1% next May when budget time rolls around.
Let's talk about the future of Flat Rock and the legacy of the village. Mm-hmm. Tell us how you feel about that with the growth that we know is coming to this area. How would you deal with that?
Well, growth is inevitable with the economy growing and people retiring, the boomers especially, coming down into the southeast and also other areas of the country. There's going to be growth around us. That doesn't mean there necessarily has to be large growth within us. The growth rate for Flat Rock, from my understanding, for the last 30 years has been about 1%. That's entirely sustainable. We are unique in North Carolina. We are the largest historical district, and our history not only encompasses the Southern Confederacy and the Civil War years, but also goes back to the Revolutionary War and in some cases pre-revolutionary. And that is rare in any state, but particularly in ours. I mean, half of the Confederate cabinet had summer cottages here. And we are in a very special ecosystem. The Southern Appalachians, from my studies as a wildlife biologist many years ago, I don't think it's changed, is that we are the second most ecologically diverse environment on Earth outside of the tropical rainforest. And to take the North Highland Lake Road Project, for example, the number of trees and habitat that's going to be lost for a project that doesn't need to be done is inconceivable. I mean, we will never get that back. Some people, not necessarily in council, but some people have talked about widening Greenville Highway or Irkwood or some of the other roads. And these roads were originally wagon roads or Indian trails that were widened and paved so the cars could go on them. There is no reason that anyone that does not live in Flat Rock has to go through Flat Rock to get anywhere. So we can be a microcosm in this state, preserve our heritage of historic homes and properties, our cultural values, our small town wonders, without having to become Hendersonville or Asheville. We are Flat Rock. We are told by our council we must think regionally, but the village council is responsible to the citizens of Flat Rock. We elect county commissioners whose job it is to think regionally. We are Flat Rock Village Council, and we are to represent the people of Flat Rock and have input into regional affairs, but also to have say to stop regional projects that would impact us adversely. We represent the citizens of Flat Rock.
Tom, tell our listeners how they might be able to get in touch with you or learn more about your platform.
Well, I tend to keep a pretty low profile. I've never signed up for social media and probably never will. because I don't agree with the business model. But I can be reached a couple of different ways. All of my campaign information is loaded into the Cultural Landscape Group website. And Ann Coletta is the president of that. And they do have a website. It's https://hcscl.wordpress.com. And you can find my position statement on there. You can find my smiling face and any other information about our platform. Again, Ann Coletta and David Deathrow and I are running in conjunction on the same platform in order to make a change. The only way this change could happen is Nick Weidman must be elected mayor, which he is running unopposed. The three of us, Ann Coletta and David and myself, have opponents. For the first time in 20 years, I'm told, there is opposition for seats. If all four of us get elected, we can change the direction of the Flat Rock Village Council. If only one of us does not get elected, then we have to wait until 2021 to be able to try again. But in the meantime, if we are not elected this round, the North Highland Lake Road Project will take place. If the four of us are elected, the North Highland Lake Road Project will be stopped, and we can apply for grants from the state of North Carolina for $250,000 to do the work that does need to be done there, such as rounding the corners where we meet Greenville Highway, getting rid of the suicide lane near CVS. If you go past CVS and want to go in there, you know what I'm talking about. And also, we can look at a different way to change the entrance of the park that protects that stone monument and all the trees in the park and not infringing on the parkland or the trails.
Thank you so much. We appreciate it.
Thank you for inviting me.
You've been listening to Meet the Candidates on WTZQ with host Ruth Burge. All candidates who have filed for the Henderson County municipal elections to be held on November the 5th have been contacted to participate. Equal time will be made available for all candidates.